Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this very blessed Sabbath day, the 2nd of June, 2018. Glad to have you in fellowship with us today, as well as those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that prayer this morning? Please go right ahead. May we please bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us safely and with what health we have to another Sabbath day. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we pray that thy presence will continue to be with us. And we also plead for the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit to be abiding guests with each listening heart. May we behold wondrous things out of thy word of truth today, and may these be ingrained in our hearts, written upon the tables of our mind, and never forgotten, but become part of our lives. Be with all of those requesting prayers, and especially be with those needing to be healed by the great physician Jesus. And thank you, Savior, for taking their case in thy hands and bringing them speedily relief. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being here in our midst. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And we're starting a new chapter today, Blessing the Children, chapter 56 in Desire of Ages. And you can find our study book on our website at lightministries.com/id621.htm. And this chapter begins on page 511. Jesus was ever a lover of children. He accepted their childish sympathy and their open, unaffected love. The grateful praise from their pure lips was music in his ears and refreshed his spirit when oppressed by contact with crafty and hypocritical men. Wherever the Savior went, the benignity of his countenance and his gentle, kindly manner won the love and confidence of children. Among the Jews, it was customary for children to be brought to some rabbi that he might lay his hands upon them in blessing. But the Savior's disciples thought his work too important to be interrupted in this way. When the mothers came to him with their little ones, the disciples looked on them with disfavor. They thought these children too young to be benefited by a visit to Jesus, and concluded that he would be displeased at their presence. But it was the disciples with whom he was displeased. The Savior understood the care and burden of the mothers who were seeking to train their children according to the word of God. He had heard their prayers. He himself had drawn them into his presence. Now, obviously, Christ, when he was human on this earth, could not personally... The comment in the room says, the Holy Spirit. Amen, indeed. So Christ was able to use the Holy Spirit as his representative to go and visit these mothers and encourage them, draw them to come to the Savior for his blessing. And the Savior is still today using the Holy Spirit to reach his people and draw them ever closer to him for his blessing. Christ is still human. And that humanity limits his ability to omnipresence, to be everywhere at once. So as Christ is our great high priest in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, that's where his physical body is. But through the Holy Spirit, he's still working on our hearts, leading us to come ever closer to him for his blessing.
One mother with her child had left her home to find Jesus. On the way, she told a neighbor her errand, and the neighbor wanted to have Jesus bless her children. The several mothers came together with their little ones. Some of the children had passed beyond the years of infancy to childhood and youth. When the mothers made known their desire, Jesus heard with sympathy the timid, fearful request. But he waited to see how the disciples would treat them. When he saw them send the mothers away, thinking to do him a favor, he showed them their error, saying, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." He took the arms, he held them, and gave the blessing for which they came.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. Precious Savior, every mother that came with her child, Christ took those children in his arms, laid his hands on them, and gave them, the children and the mothers, the blessing for which they came in the first place. Not a single one was left out. What tenderness does the Savior manifest towards mothers who have a genuine interest in their child's salvation? So as the mothers came to Jesus, he listened to their desires, their wants. He heard with sympathy their timid, tearful request. And Christ was not going to deny them in the least. He was going to make sure that they received the blessing for which they came. He turned no one away. And it's the same today, dear ones. Those who come to Christ, especially mothers, Christ will not turn away. He will give them the blessing that they desire, especially to raise their children up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. So Christ told his disciples, when they felt that they were doing him a favor by keeping children and mothers from coming to him, he said, "Don't stop them, but permit the little children to come unto me. Don't hinder them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, we know that the kingdom of heaven is not just going to admit little children. So what did Christ mean here that of such little children is the kingdom of God composed? What did he mean by that? Amen. A comment in the room says, "Come as a child." Another comment, it says, we have to have faith as a little child. Amen. So little children are not generally pretentious. They don't come with a front, with an air that is not part of their character. They don't come pretending to be someone else. They come just as they are, honest, open. And so we can see that God's kingdom is not composed of professors of religion. It's not composed of those who make or love a lie, who are dishonest, who are putting on a pretense. but they're composed of honest-hearted individuals. Who have come directly to Jesus for his blessing. So if you want to be in the kingdom of God, then honesty of heart is the way. Any other thoughts? Any other comments?
The mothers were confounded. I mean, not confounded. The mothers were comforted. They returned to their homes, strengthened and blessed by the words of Christ. They were encouraged to take up their burden with new cheerfulness and to work hopefully for their children. The mothers of today are to receive his words with the same faith. Christ is as verily a personal savior today as when he lived a man among men. He is as verily the helper of mothers today as when he gathered the little ones to his arms in Judea. The children of our hearts are as much the purchase of his blood as were the children of long ago.
Amen. Amen. And a hearth was generally around the fireplace, and that was the family gathering in order to stay warm in the cold nights and so on. So to gather around the hearth was all the family would come together around that fireplace and stay warm. So that became the central meeting place for the family. So then the children that gather together in the family circle or around the hearth, if you have a fireplace, are as much the purchase of Christ today as were the children that met him when he was living on the earth. So Christ is still the helper of mothers today. Just as he helped the mothers back in his day. And so for mothers and also fathers out there that are caring for children, you don't have to fulfill your important responsibilities alone. You have a mighty helper in Jesus Christ. And he will indeed strengthen you, encourage you, and give you the grace that you need to handle whatever situation may occur, whatever questions may come up, whatever situations may happen. He'll give you wisdom to raise your children to his glory. And praise his holy name for still being our helper today.
Jesus knows the burden of every mother's heart. He who had a mother that struggled with poverty and privation sympathizes with every mother in her labors. He who made a long journey in order to relieve the anxious heart of the Canaanite woman will do as much for the mothers of today. He who gave back to the widow of Nain her only son, and who, in his agony upon the cross, remembered his own mother, is touched today by the mother's sorrow. In every grief, in every need, he will give comfort and help.
Amen. And what a precious promise that is. And you can claim this promise. In your every grief and need, Christ will give you comfort and help, just as he did long ago. He'll still do today. Now, it's interesting here. It says that the Canaanite woman, and we know that this story dealt with her child being possessed, The Canaanite woman had made a trip to come into the presence of Christ so that she could find help for her precious daughter. But it says here that Christ made a long journey in order to be where she could reach him. So he knew of her need, and in order to help her more quickly, Christ took the time to travel a long way in order to come faster into her presence and provide her the relief, the help that she longed for. Amen. Really a personal savior. Now, Christ could have waited until his mission work had taken him close to her, or could have impressed her to travel that super long distance in order to be with him. But he took the time to go to where she was and could reach him faster. That's our Savior. Unwilling that his followers should suffer any longer than is necessary. Taking the time out of his busy schedule to provide them relief and help sooner rather than later. And it reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, where Christ is relating the character of the father there towards his children. And the prodigal son had left home and took all of his inheritance, even though the father was not dead and he didn't deserve the inheritance yet. But he took all his inheritance and squandered it in riotous living. And when he finally had nothing left, he came to his senses and determined to come home. Not now to be a son, but just to be able to survive with his father. And while he was a great way off, not close at hand, a great way off, the father saw him, ran down from his throne all the way to embrace him. Now the son was coming to him, but the father didn't wait for the son to get all the way up to where he was sitting before he got off the throne or the chair. The father ran to the son. Didn't want him to suffer any longer with the burden of despair that he was going through because of his past sinful life. That's how much the Father loved his son. That's how much Jesus manifested his love for this Canaanite woman. The same character. The same compassion and tenderness, the same willingness to forgive. And Christ will do the same for you. As you're coming to him for help, he's already drawing nigh to you to give you that help. He doesn't need for you to grovel at his feet. He already knows your need. He already has the help ready to give you. So our Father and our Savior loves us tremendously. They're interested in our welfare. And they're drawing us ever closer through the truth to salvation, so that they could be with us forevermore, and we can be with them.
Let mothers come to Jesus with their perplexities. They will find grace sufficient to aid them in the management of their children. The gates are open for every mother who would lay her burdens at the Savior's feet. He who said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Still invites the mothers to lead up their little ones to be blessed by him. Even the babe in its mother's arms may dwell as under the shadow of the Almighty through the faith of the praying mother. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his birth. If we will live in communion with God, we too may expect the divine spirit to mold our little ones.
What a thought and a comfort that is. Through the faith of the praying mother, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. Jeremiah from his birth. So it's not just Christ that's able to be blessed with the Holy Spirit from his birth. But any of the human family can be filled with the Holy Spirit from the first day being born, or even before that, while they're still in the womb. As with John the Baptist. Through the faith of the praying mother. So even before the child is born, God can begin working upon that child's character, his nature, his disposition, if you will ask him to do so. And in faith, believing that he is doing so. And then all the way along the life of that child from birth on, through the faith of the praying mother, the Holy Spirit can continue to work in molding that child more and more into the image of God. So all the way along the walk of life, we can dwell under the shadow of the Almighty if we will just flee to Christ and plead for his Holy Spirit to be with us and with our children. Amen. Thanks be unto God for praying mothers. Amen indeed. And amen. Thank my mother and grandmother and great-grandmother for their many prayers. Any other thoughts? Any other comments?
In the children who were brought in contact with him, Jesus saw the men and women who should be heirs of his grace and subjects of his kingdom, and some of whom would become martyrs for his sake. He knew that these children would listen to him and accept him as their redeemer far more readily than would grown-up people, many of whom were the worldly wise and hard-hearted. In his teaching, he came down to their level. He, the majesty of heaven, did not disdain to answer their questions and simplify his important lessons to meet their childish understanding. He planted in their minds the seeds of truth, which in after years would spring up and bear fruit unto eternal life.
Amen. So notice here that even though the questions that came from the children were childish in nature, Christ didn't just pass them off as saying, well, you'll learn more as you grow up. But he was able to meet them on their level and was able to give them an answer that was as a seed of truth in their heart to spring up and produce a new child in the image of God as they continued to grow in maturity. May God give us that ability to reach into the hearts of our listeners, no matter at what level of maturity they may be, so that seeds of truth can be planted deep in their heart soil, and then the Spirit can water these seeds and sprout them at the proper time. That's a good point. Comment in the room, it says, that is why the Lord gave women childbirth. The love of a mother draws them to their knees for the well-being of their children. And thus the mother herself, in care for her child's salvation, is brought to salvation herself. You know, Enoch did not begin walking with God until after he had his firstborn. And he had his firstborn at the age of 65. After he had his firstborn child, he then recognized in a greater way the love and compassion of God towards him and the rest of humanity. And because of his firstborn child, he then was able to walk with God for 300 years perfectly, and then was translated that he should not see death. So his child brought Enoch salvation. And so the same, continuing, it is still true that children are the most susceptible to the teachings of the gospel. Their hearts are open to divine influences and strong to retain the lessons received. The little children may be Christians, having an experience in accordance with their years. They need to be educated in spiritual things, and parents should give them every advantage that they may form characters after the similitude of the character of Christ. Fathers and mothers should look upon their children as younger members of the Lord's family, committed to them to educate for heaven. The lessons that we ourselves learn from Christ, we should give to our children, as the young minds can receive them little by little, opening to them the beauty of the principles of heaven. Thus the Christian home becomes a school where the parents serve as under-teachers, while Christ himself is the chief instructor. So God allows parents to have children so that they can train and educate them in the principles of heaven and bring them up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. So then the Bible is to be the guide, the first school book for the children. That way, Christ himself becomes the chief educator, and parents become the under-teachers. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit will bless your efforts, and the children will remember what they have read, what they have studied, and what you have shared with them. Because children are like a sponge. They'll soak up whatever atmosphere is around them. If you're happy, they'll be happy. If you're sad, they'll be sad. they imitate the example that is spread before them. So then if the example you give them is Christ, then they'll become more and more like Christ.
In working for the conversion of our children, we should not look for violent emotions as the essential evidence of conviction of sin, nor is it necessary to know the exact time when they are converted. We should teach them to bring their sins to Jesus, asking his forgiveness, and believing that he pardons and receives them as he received the children when he was personally on earth.
Amen. So notice here that emotion is not evidence of conviction of sin. So there's no feeling that we can look to say, aha, that is conversion. Or that is someone convicted of a sin. Just simple faith in confessing your sins to Jesus and asking for his forgiveness, that signals conversion. Simple faith. No big fanfare. No big emotional high or low. Just simple faith.
As the mother teaches her children to obey her because they love her, she is teaching them the first lessons in the Christian life. The mother's love represents to the child the love of Christ, and the little ones who trust and obey their mother are learning to trust and obey the Savior.
Amen. And that short paragraph there has a lot in it. If parents do not teach their children obedience to their requirements, then the children grow up in disobedience, following their own ways, their own wills, and thus they will do the same thing with God and his law. They will follow their own way and will and disobey their heavenly Father. And thus they will lose everlasting life unless they change. So then parents must teach their children that in obeying their commands, their requirements, their desires, they are leading them to happiness and especially to everlasting life. And as the child grows older, and if the parents are Christian, then the child will be able to see that the rules and commands of their parents have their foundation in the principles of God's law. And when they come to that realization, they'll recognize that their parents are not just being arbitrary. They're not just making rules and maxims on their own. But the parents themselves are under obedience to God, because the very same rules and maxims and principles that are founded in God's word are the same that the parents are following themselves and are requiring their children to follow. And when the child can understand that, it will go a long way to dispelling rebellion, because the children will see that their own parents are obeying God. And if their parents can do it, then the children can do it as well. Consistency goes a long way to dispel. Well, that's an excellent question. Question in the room, it says, what happens if the parent learned about and accepted the Lord at a later time in their lives and thus didn't teach the children when the child is of age? They are not molded in the Lord. How do you deal with that? And it becomes a lot more difficult to bring about that change for the better in the life of the older child when they didn't grow up under that type of influence. But again, all things are possible with God. Just as Paul, who was a full-grown adult, was very closely united with the devil, trained under a wrong influence, custom and tradition of the elders. Yet God was still able to reach his heart and bring about a complete conversion, a 180-degree difference from his previous life. So the same can take place in an older child's life or a young adult life. Because God can do marvelous things. So that's a very good question. And I would say, in a practical way, prayer, much prayer, as well as making sure the example you set is consistent with God's word, so that when the older child or young adult comes to you and says, well, why is that a rule? You can then refer them to God's word. And they'll be able to see that you're not just being arbitrary. You're not just making up your own rules because that's what you wanted to do at that particular point in the day. But that you yourself are under obedience to God. Amen. Pray without ceasing indeed. And the prayer of a mother moves the hand of God. So don't give up. It may take a long time for there to be any noticeable change, but by beholding on a consistent day-by-day interval, change will come. And with God's Holy Spirit working on the heart, it will come.
While we were in Guatemala, we adopted the children of a neighbor who passed away in childbirth. And one little boy and one girl stayed with us. The other boys went off with an uncle or back to their own parents' property. And the little girl was quite a burden, rebellious creature. We sent her off to the Adventist boarding school in North Guatemala. And I'm sure she learned a lot of things, but she was still quite rebellious when she came back. But in a phone call we had here a year or so ago, she made this statement. I am thankful that your folks took me in. It made all the difference in my life. If they hadn't taken me in, I would turn out just like my cousins. I told her, I wish my parents could have heard that. It would have meant a lot to them.
Amen. The seeds of truth can be hid in the heart for a long time, years in fact. But then the Spirit can sprout them just at the right time to make a difference in the life. And conversion begins. So that young lady that joined the household there may have just continued to rebel, but the example and the principles of truth that were given to her by your parents, and I imagine yourself and John and others of the family there, had an effect on her life, even though she may not have recognized it at the time or would be willing to admit it, had an effect that was seen and appreciated later in her life. And that's why conversion can't really be explained. You can see the effects of it, but you can't explain it. It's a mystery. But the Spirit knows exactly when to water that seed and to sprout it. And he will indeed continue to comfort, encourage, reprove, strengthen, and lead that individual to eternal life. Amen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Proverbs 17:22. Amen indeed. And who'd like to read this last paragraph before we close?
Sorry, Elder Rob, I have just one more question about, I was reading in the scripture about how basically that even with the Job and Noah and Daniel experience, that even with them, they weren't able to, they're not able to like save their children, basically. Give salvation for their children, because we basically all have to stand accountable for our actions. So that's what prompted my question, because it's sometimes you learn, we're so indoctrinated with traditions from our grandparents, our parents, or however we were brought up, that yes, their righteousness does not save their children. So when we as parents are converted or are learning about Christ, and we want the best for our children, of course, and we want to teach them, but there's I agree, it could be very stressful at times, because it's like a fight. It's a constant fight, and it's not like, it makes things so sometimes difficult, because it's a constant fighting against what is it that you know. You're trying to save them because you know what is right for them. And I understand that, you know, keep praying without ceasing, keep believing and doing this, but it's still a struggle at times. It's still very much, I don't know, it's still very much something that you have to keep in mind and in.
Amen, that's true. And I would say no Christian parent wants their child to perish. And the one thing that can help in those times of perplexity and trial and, you know, almost despair, because you've thought of everything you can possibly do to reach the child, and yet the child still doesn't understand, is that Christ knows all about it. Christ is our creator. Not just our creator in perfection, in righteousness, but he also experienced all the poles of the fallen nature. Because when he was on this earth, he took upon him our fallen, sinful nature. So he experienced all that we experience. That means he can help us in every time of need, because he knows what we're going through. So when you're at your wit's end and you're completely frustrated on how to reach your child or children, flee to Christ. He knows what you're going through, and he knows exactly how to help you and to reach your child. He is indeed a present help in every time of need. And he's all wise. And when you think that you've exhausted every avenue in fleeing to Christ, he'll give you another avenue and another. And in pleading for the Holy Spirit to work on your child's heart, then there will come a change for the better. You know, we want to see results immediate. But our timetable is not God's. So indeed, pray without ceasing. And in faith, go forward. So what a mercy.
I just wanted to say that even as Jesus was dying on the cross, he cried to his Father on our behalf. Because we are children as well. We are the children of God. But the Lord cried out to his Father, said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." So as parents, we have to have the same heart and the same love and the same forgiveness for our children as Christ does and did for us. Although we are adults, we're still his children, and we're still learning daily to walk in the way that he has designed for us to walk. So as parents, we are to train our children to do the same. But in their walk, they will stumble as well. So when they stumble and they fall and they make their mistakes, we continue to cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive them just as Christ has forgiven us.
Amen. And that's an excellent point. It's that forgiveness. You know, punishment still has to be meted out depending on the infraction. But that forgiveness is key because that can reach the heart. That manifests love. And it also gives them the understanding that no matter how great the crime or the sin, there's forgiveness. Unconditional love is the source of that forgiveness. So, amen. Excellent point, dear sister. And there's a comment in the room. It says, a lot of times our children have adopted our mistakes. And that's quite humbling to recognize. But it's very true. When we see the mistakes and the character defects in our children, that should force us to look to ourselves to see where they learned those defects. And that's just another way to bring not just the children to God, but the parents as well. Praise his holy name for his wonderful works and for helping us to grow in grace and to help our children to do the same. Well, let's go ahead and stop here, and next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph, Jesus was the pattern for children. And let us please bow our heads and our knees. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for thy unconditional love, for being unwilling that any should perish, no matter what their age may be, Thank you for your long suffering for each one of us and for taking the time to personally lead and guide us away from sin to righteousness, away from this world to Jesus Christ. And especially thank you for helping us to raise our children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Please continue to be with us and open our eyes to understand and comprehend more from thy precious word of truth. Thank you also for hearing and answering our prayers, especially the prayers of mothers for their children, and for already working to reach the hearts of the little ones and the older ones to bring about true and lasting conversion, and in the end, eternal life. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.